Welcome to Healing and Revelation, a weekly program hosted by healing evangelists Dr. Bill and Barbara Dewar of Revelation Wisdom Ministries.
To everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was their time. You feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all other people with burdens and pains, keeping you back from your life. You believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus.
In Acts 16, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Everything in the kingdom of God works by faith. You can't please God without faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it goes on to say, "God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Another definition of faith is trusting in what Jesus did for you on the cross. His sacrifice on the cross saved you and made you in right standing with God the Father. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift from God, not based on your works, so that no one can boast, so that no one can boast about their works." Well, welcome again, and thanks for listening this morning. We appreciate you coming back. We have several really exciting things today. My wife is going to give a testimony in our first segment up front. We are teaching today a course on healing and revelation. We'll spend about equal time on both topics, maybe a little bit more time on revelation. In our first segment, what we'll do is we'll be talking about my wife's testimony, and then I'll continue on with the discussions we were having about word power and curses and how to get rid of the curses, how not to take on the curses, etc., etc. So, as I mentioned before, my wife and I are both ordained ministers under Joan Hunter's ministry, and she is a healing evangelist who travels the world. Her parents were the Happy Hunters who brought wellness and healing to hundreds of thousands of people around the world. So, without further ado, here's my wife.
Hi, I'm Barbara Dewar. Welcome to today's program. This is my testimony. I was healed from a stroke when I was 34 years old. A little later, I was healed from a heart arrhythmia known as atrial fibrillation. I was healed from breast cancer when I was 53 years old, and just a few years ago I was healed of the issue of blood. The Word of God contains the healing. Believe that what you say will come to pass. Live in expectancy as if your miracles already happened. Hebrews 11:6 tells us to have faith in God because God loves you. The Word of God changed my life. The experience of all the sicknesses was to help me become more sensitive to God's plan for my life. I hear God in faith giving me direction for my life. You have to understand where your heart is. You have to profess healing at the heart level. The things that are seen are temporal, but unseen are eternal. It is not just a bunch of words. Facts in the medical community change every day, but the truth in God's Word is constant. What can fix you is the Word, and the truth will set you free. John 8:31-32. I am the healed. 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus. Faith is voice activated. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing is the Word of God. Romans 10:17. I am made for signs and wonders. I was made in the image of God, and the enemy tried to destroy my image. When I was born again, seeds of greatness were put in me. Satan doesn't want healing, because one miracle is worth 1,000 words, and now that's a Kodak moment. Priceless. Miracles will cause every work of the devil to be put down. Acts 19:19. Master the miracle talk. Plan it. Talk it. Believe it every day. Healing is not about us. It's about what Jesus is doing in us, working through us. It has nothing to do with our abilities. All the glory goes to God. We are His vessels. The Word says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed in Mark 16:18. In Mark 9:23, it says, nothing is impossible to them that believe. God is the source in my life, Romans 8:28. I thank Him. I value Him for my breath, health, for being born at this time. He prepared me for this. Seek first the kingdom of God. You are healed. If the bump hasn't left, you are healed before and after the bump showed up. Base your healing on what Jesus did for you. Own it. Get confidence in who you are in Christ. No guilt, no condemnation, no pity party. You are good enough. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow, her testimony is really amazing. Every time I hear it, I get stunned by all the things that actually she went through and I and our children went through in this process. I'm sure anyone who's sick knows that it's a family sickness and not just an individual sickness. So anyway, I'm going to continue on with the topic of curses that I started last week. And we're going to go into generational curses. And we're also going to have a healing, a prayer to release curses as we get into this. So here we go. I'm Bill Dewar, and I'm continuing in the series we talked about the basics of healing. Today I'm going to talk about curses, and I'm going to talk some more about them tomorrow. But basically, there are three different types of curses that we run across. The first is inherited curses, which last for 3 to 4 generations, and they're defined in the Bible in Exodus chapter 20, Exodus 34, and Deuteronomy 5. There are other curses that are spoken over us by others, and then, of course, there's curses that we speak over ourselves from Proverbs 18, verse 20. The important thing here is to get the negative words out of our vocabulary, as we talked about the other day, to put faith in action in all of our confessions, that's the spoken words that we have, and to clean up our act so that we can get more power out of our spoken words. Through ignorance of the correct usage of these words, people have yielded to the wrong speaking, strife, gossip, envy, and the tongue opens the door for Satan to come in. And that's described in James 3, 4, and 5. Our words get twisted with miscommunications. The majority of our spoken communications contain errors, and they create problems for us every day in our business and family lives. So what we want to focus on is how to get rid of these curses on us. So if we look at the negative versus positive words that we discussed the other day, it's very clear we want to get away from the negative words and turn all those expressions into positive expressions, which will be a blessing and not a curse. The second part of this about curses spoken over us by others is that we do not want to agree with anything people say over us. We've got to reject these messages. People try to dump these things on us and walk away, and we agree with what they're saying just to get rid of them sometimes, but you cannot allow that stuff to be inside your brain. It can grow. It can grow in the wrong way, and it will hurt you in the long run. In Matthew 12:36, we are told that we will give an account for every idle word spoken, so you don't want to do that. Now, I mentioned the other day a book that my wife and I really got into. It was so powerful to us that we gave it away to many people to help improve their word power and help improve the things in their lives. And so I'm just going to briefly introduce this and start. Derek Prince talks about the different kinds of things that can be over us when we are involved in a curse. And these are the same things that come in Moses, discuss these in Deuteronomy 28. Hi, this is Bill Duer. I'm continuing on with my comments about curses. If you recall, we talked briefly about Derek Prince's book on blessing and curses. And inside there, he lists several aspects of a generational curse, which essentially is negative patterns being passed from a parent to a child that is way beyond learned behavior. It's spiritual bondage. Things like mental and emotional breakdown, repeated chronic sicknesses, barrenness, breakdown of marriage and family alienation, continued financial insufficiencies, accident prone, history in the family of unnatural or untimely death. And we're bringing these things together because these are the symptoms of inherited curses, which by the definition of the Bible last 3 to 4 generations, and they also result in inherited diseases or generational diseases. So we have a prayer to pray that, and we will do that when we get through this series of things about curses. Now, the point I want to make here is that sometimes these curses are very deep. They've been there for a long time inside the family. There are sometimes ungodly spirits associated with these things. And if you believe that you have several of these factors operating in your life, you may need to go see your pastor or someone else to help you get through these issues. The book by Derek Prince gives you a lot more data about these things, and we simply can't cover it on a radio in the short time slot that we have. But we're trying to identify the issues and have you decide if the information is of any value to you. I want to show you a prayer right now that you can use to break generational curses. But you have to understand that many times there's other complications around, but this simple prayer, if you just had a simple generational curse, this prayer would enable you to get rid of it. And I want you to say this out loud, and I have my assistant here is going to repeat it after me so that you can actually say the prayer with us. So here we go. Father God.
Father God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I take responsibility for. My sins.
My sins.
I repent and forsake them.
I repent and forsake them.
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
I also ask you. To forgive my forefathers.
To forgive my forefathers.
Of this same sin.
Of this same sin.
I ask you to break the curse.
I ask you to break the curse.
Off of me.
Off of me.
My ancestors and descendants.
My ancestors and descendants.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Father God.
Father God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bind and cast off of me.
I bind and cast off of me.
Any demonic spirit.
Any demonic spirit.
Who may have come on me.
Who may have come on me.
Because of a generational curse.
Because of a generational curse.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, now we're going to switch from the healing segment of our program over to the revelation portion of our topics for today. We're going to discuss several issues about Noah and Lot, what happened in their lives. Also, we're going to get into some more material about the overcomers, God's favor, and we're going to give you a bigger, broader, but still very small glimpse of what's inside of the tribulation. So, I hope you have your pads of paper handy to capture some of these things that you're interested in. And here we go.
watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
Hi, this is Bill Duer. Our topic today is, as in the days of Noah and Lot. The book of Romans chapter 1 tells us that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. In Luke 17, Jesus said, "Just as in the days of Noah, so also will be in the days of the Son of Man." People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. People were going about doing the ordinary things of life, and then the flood came. The bloodline of Noah, who was a descendant from Adam's son Seth, was still pure and undefiled. The reason for the cleansing of the world by God was due to the defiled bloodline of man by Satan and the fallen angels. Jesus was to come in the 42nd generation from Adam. Genesis 6, which you can read at your leisure, will provide more information for you regarding this defilement. Then let us continue to look at Luke 17, where Jesus further told us it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. We recently completed our series on end time prophecy and the book of Revelation. Jesus is telling us that everything will be seemingly going about in a normal fashion, and then the rapture, the tribulation, Armageddon, and the second coming will suddenly occur. The people living in the days of Noah and Lot were in rebellion to God. Immorality and idolatry abounded, much like it is in the world today. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 calls it, "Where evil is good and good is evil, or those that call evil men good and good men evil." It is a generation that speaks in praise of drunkenness, gluttony, carnal pleasures, and treat with contempt the righteous fear of the Lord, praise, worship, and service to God. So what is the result? Romans 1, verses 28 to 32 describes, "Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have been filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. As Jesus warned, when you are least expecting it, the flood came and fire and sulfur rained down on the world. Are you aware of the times? Are you in the ark? Will you be left behind?" As Paul said, every man is responsible for his own salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the warnings.
Our topic for today is God's favor and peer pressure. Luke 17, verses 21 to 27 tells us, "As in the days of Noah, they were eating, drinking, marrying, just normal things that you would expect to be happening on any given day." Let us open our Bibles to Genesis 6 and see what it says about Noah. Verse 8 tells us, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." And verse 22 says that Noah did all that God commanded of him. God's plan for your life requires faith. God's eyes are roaming throughout the earth, seeking whom he can bless. God is not looking for ability. He is looking for your availability. God will not give you an assignment without giving you the tools you need to succeed. Noah just had to trust what God told him to do, and God would make the way. God gave Noah the dimensions of the ark and the specifications on how to build it. So Noah started building the ark in his backyard. Possibly his neighbors would peer over the fence. At first, it was a curiosity regarding what Noah was doing. Then the curiosity turned into ridicule. Noah was probably severely persecuted by his critics for doing something which the Lord commanded him to do. Does this sound familiar to your situation? The critics probably said to Noah, "God told you to do what? Build a boat? It never rains here. Ha 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 ha." Like Noah, ignore your critics, because you have been called out for a time such as this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 warns us to be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good character. Do not give your peers influence in your life, and do not sit in the counsel of the ungodly, according to Psalms chapter 1. If you tell them that you are obedient to God's will because God wants to bless you, well, sometimes those peers will not only make fun of you, but they will make fun of God too. Now, back to our story about Noah. Noah had God's favor. When the flood came, the ark was lifted up. The critics drowned. If God is for you, who can be against you? Good story. Genesis 39 gives us another encouraging word about faith and favor. For God was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. In 2 Kings 2, 23 to 25, we are told about Elisha was minding his own business, just praying and walking to the next town. Apparently, a band of some local hoodlums decided to verbally attack him. They called him names and said, "Get out of here, Baldy." When he looked behind him, he cursed those boys in the name of the Lord. Elisha then called two female bears out of the woods. The bears mauled 42 of those boys. Wow, this is something I would have never expected from this mild-mannered Elisha. But Elisha was under the Old Testament law. We are living in the dispensation of grace. We are called to forgive. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Satan hates the word and people of the word, especially those who are preaching the gospel. Expect persecution if you are sowing seeds of faith among your family members, co-workers, and friends. Attacks from Satan just goes with the territory, but these attacks seem to hurt more when they come from those you know. Unfortunately, sometimes Satan can use believers to hinder the spreading of the word. Just stay in faith, forgive, and renew your mind in the word daily. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. On another note, please visit our website at www.rwmin.org. We have some new items that have been added there, and you can enter your questions into the website on the contact page. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hi, this is Bill Duer. This is our final message in our End Times Book of Revelation series, where we're going to review some of the major events of the end times. The biblical predictions for the future will be a one-world government, one-world religion, one-world economy, a cashless society, and pervasive immorality abounding. The word rapture is nowhere to be found in the Bible. However, the word rapture is derived from the Latin translation of 1 Thessalonians 4 as caught up, where believers, living and dead, will be changed, meet Jesus in the clouds, and taken to the Father's house. Then they will go to the Bema judgment for their crowns and rewards. The marriage supper in heaven occurs in Revelation 19. Then King Jesus returns to earth in the second coming. Daniel 11 and Revelation 12, 13, and 17 tell us that there will be a revival of the Holy Roman Empire and a 10-nation confederacy formed. The European Union is now in operation. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul describes the man of lawlessness and a great falling away, or an apostasy or withdrawal from the truth in the Bible. While there are those who fall away in every generation, this falling away will be the general condition of mankind before the Antichrist reveals himself. Then the Antichrist will rise as a dictator. In Daniel 9, the Antichrist signs a covenant for 7 years with Israel. This begins the tribulation. The treaty will be made 7 years before the second coming of Jesus, but will be broken midpoint or 3.5 years before the second coming. The tribulation is a period of 2 3.5 years time segments. Revelation 16 describes the divine catastrophic judgments of seals, trumpets, and bowls poured out. The book of Daniel, chapter 12, goes into more specific detail about the length of the tribulation, the signs preceding the tribulation, the salvations during the tribulation, and the resurrections following the tribulation. Ezekiel 38 and 39 describes how Russia and its allies in the battle of Gog and Magog will spring a surprise attack on Israel 4 years before Christ's second coming. The apostate church thrives in Revelation 2. One world church arises under the false prophet. Salvation is serious business. There will be two Old Testament witnesses. 666 is the mark of the beast from Revelation 13 and 144,000 Jewish evangelists from Revelation 7. Daniel 12 and 2 Thessalonians tells us that the Antichrist will claim to be God during this time of tribulation. Many Christians and Jews will refuse to worship him and will be martyred. Most of them will be beheaded. They will be saints under the altar. Revelation chapters 9 and 16 and Daniel 11 describe how the Battle of Armageddon erupts. Mystery Babylon is destroyed in Revelation 18, and that finally Revelation 19 reveals how the second coming of Jesus ends the tribulation. The resurrection of the tribulation saints in Revelation 20 and Old Testament saints in Daniel 12. There will also be a judgment of wicked Jews and Gentiles. See Ezekiel 20, Matthew 25, and Revelation 19. Whereafter, in Revelation 20, Satan is bound and locked in an abyss for 1,000 years. Then the millennium begins. End of the millennium, Satan is loosed and there's a final rebellion. Judgment of Satan, the final judgment of the wicked, the great white throne judgment, and eternity begins with a new heaven, new earth, and a new Jerusalem from Revelation 21. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to our show, hosted by Dr. Bill and Barbara Duer. Contact them at Revelation Wisdom Ministries at Post Office Box 218, McHenry, Maryland, 21541, or by email rwmi5555@gmail.com. And please consider supporting this program by contributing on our website, rwmin.org, or sending your tax-deductible donation to Post Office Box 218, McHenry, Maryland, 21541.